Welcome back. 15 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And let's see. Corky in Rochester, New York. Hey, Corky, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
Oh, Tom. Yeah, I think the jury's in on this marijuana. It's a mind-altering drug, and that's good because when you're in pain, it switches the pain off.
Do you have personal experience with that, Corky?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Okay.
If you ever had a toothache, and all you can think about is that tooth,
yeah.
Well, it alters your mind. It gets your mind off of that tooth on something else.
Yeah.
And that's what helps with the pain. It doesn't eliminate the pain, doesn't take it away. It just changes your focus.
Well, you're absolutely right, Corky, and Louise and I were talking about this when we were in Washington, laying in bed. We had just smoked some of this high CBD pot, and we were then just going to go to sleep. And Louise was like, I don't feel my pain, but I know that it's there. And I said, what do you mean? And she says something to the effect of, you know, well, I've got this pain in my leg, this neuropathy that's left over from her chemotherapy. And she said, I've got this pain, and the pain hasn't stopped, but it feels like it's not in my body anymore. It feels almost like it's next to me. And I said, there are two ways to stop pain. Now, the first is by blocking the pain receptors so the brain doesn't register the pain, which is what opiates do, or blocking the brain's pain receptors. Now, the second is with what's called dissociation, which is where, you know, you intellectually disassociate yourself, separate yourself from the pain. This is what Buddhist monks do, you know, and fakirs, the guys who bury themselves alive, or, you know, hold their hand over a candle flame or whatever, and, you know, can put up with, you know, lay on a bed of nails. They disassociate themselves. And I said, that's what pot does. Pot causes our brains to separate our brain from our body in a way, so that our brain is kind of noticing our body, but our brain doesn't think it is our body. Does that make sense, Corky?
Yeah, that's exactly what it does. You don't pay attention to it.
Right.
You know, so if you're not paying attention to it, it's not registering in your brain. See, the pain sends a signal to your brain saying, that hurts.
Right.
And what it does is it cuts that off. It stops the back and forth. I'm in pain.
I think that's what opiates do. I think that's what narcotics do, is they cut that off. I believe, I mean, maybe CBD does that also, but I think the benefit of THC and other psychedelics that are being used for people who are in terminal stage pain is that it allows you to separate your sense of self from your sense of pain. So instead of saying, I have pain, you say, there is pain in this body, but it's not me. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, you see, the pharmaceuticals, they want this off the market. They want pot to be illegal because you can grow it at home.
Right.
You know, and you're cutting them out of the mix. The pot does the same thing that all medications do. It works on the brain, you know, other than the ones that attack the tumor or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Corky, thanks for sharing your experience with us. We'll be back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the place where despair is not an option, the Tom Hartman Program. And boy, a bunch of people still want to talk about pot. John in Minneapolis. Hey, John.
Yeah, I really love this topic because, you know, anytime, you know, a person can receive care and it's successful, I just think it's a wonderful thing, taking care of sick people.
I agree.
For almost all my life, you know, that often is not the case. And so just hearing these stories, it's really uplifting. But I wanted to say, and Corky, you know, touched on this, you know, that unfortunately, our medical system or our medical educational system, you know, they're not trained to use herbs. You know, they just are not trained that way. And also, there isn't like a standardization of herbal purity, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, it's not incorporated. I mean, there is, you know, certain centers like the University of Arizona in Tucson, you know, they are doing more with that than other areas. But as far as generally, even today, how, you know, students of medicine are taught, it's just not incorporated into their educational training. And I'm a respiratory therapist. I also wanted to say, I think that the preferred way of consuming any kind of marijuana would be not smoking it, and because you know, smoking anything, the particulates, the smoke itself, the benzenes, as somebody was mentioning, you know, that can also cause chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And I don't know what the relationship is between smoking a doobie or a whatever you want to call it, right, a marijuana cigarette and a regular cigarette. But as far as I know, I think it's like 10 to 1. So in other words, you smoke one doobie, it would equal like about 10 cigarettes. Now, that I might be off because, you know, I'm relying on research that's been done years ago. So
yeah, and cigarettes now have just a mind-boggling variety of chemical additives.
Yeah.
I agree with you, John. I, you know, I talked about smoking pot when I was in Denver and when I was in Washington State. I was, mm-hmm. you know, these were one off, you know, one night. When we were in Washington, two nights in a row in Denver, one night. So I, you know, and you could buy a pipe for $8 and smoke it, right? But a little glass pipe. But if I was making a commitment to this, if I was using medical marijuana, or if the day comes here in Washington, D.C., and marijuana is totally decriminalized, and Louise and I start to use it on a regular basis to get to sleep at night, which, frankly, I think is highly possible if they completely decriminalize it here, then I would want to go. I would want to get a vaporizer. I mean, it's just why spend $100 for one night toke, right?
But, you know, more importantly anyway, is we need research into this, and we need to have it now. And I know people have mentioned that they are doing some, but then it needs to translate into education and care.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I hope that.
So we need to teach our docs. John, excellent points
definitely.
All. I've got a whole bunch of calls on this. I want to move along. Thank you so much for the call. Great to hear from you. Susan in Los Angeles. Hey, Susan.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
I have a story about my brother, and I hate the hearsay fashion of this, but he couldn't get through to you this morning. Anyway, 9 months, a year before Obamacare became effective, he got a diagnosis from a doctor he paid with money of esophageal cancer.
Ouch.
And unfortunately, he did not have the money to deal with it, but he started doing research and grew his own CBD.
His own high CBD marijuana.
Right. And he started ingesting it with food matter, not by smoking it. Mm. And he did it routinely, daily. And by the time Obamacare kicked in last January, he went back to the same doctor for the test, and they didn't find any evidence of the esophageal cancer.
Whoa.
For what it's worth.
So he took pot for how long?
9 months, 9, 10 months.
Nine, 10 months, and he was eating it every day. So he was getting the oils and the cannabidols and things. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Susan,
he grew himself.
He grew himself. Remarkable. Susan, thank you for sharing the story. We're getting amazing stories here. It's fascinating. Sue in Morgan, Pennsylvania. Hey, Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you, and Louise and your staff. I love all of you.
Thank you.
I'm an asthmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm allergic to albuterol.
Which is a drug that is used to stop asthma attacks, right?
Right. I go into grand mal seizures for 45 minutes to an hour. My blood pressure goes to 350 over 250.
Woo!
Oh! My husband and I were on a cruise, and one of the stops was in Belize. This is about 10 years ago.
Mm.
And very reluctantly, I agreed. The cabbie said, "I will keep you safe." We were downtown Belize, where the fruit carts are, and he said, "Oh, you should go in that store. I know the owner. You'll be safe." I walked in. There were mothballs. Immediately, I went into an asthma attack.
Mm.
So So I get back into the cab, and I am doing everything I can to get myself under control. I have some homeopathics.
Right. So we have only 45 seconds left, so if you can hurry up.
Okay. So the cabbie said, I'm going to get you marijuana with seeds, the whole plant, with the roots. He made a concoction. He boiled a gallon of water with it. I consumed 2 ounces every day until that was done. That was 10 years ago. I've never had another asthma attack.
Whoa. So you cured your asthma? I mean, literally made it go away by drinking pot tea?
Yes.
Whoa.
Now, it had to have the seeds, and it had to have the roots. And I don't know what kind it was.
Right. So this was the whole plant.
And he introduced me to two mothers whose sons had horrible asthma, and they were cured as well.
Wow. Sue, thank you for calling. Thanks for sharing the story. Remarkable stuff. 28 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. You have stories about medical marijuana. And nobody has called so far and said, you know, my doctor said I should try it, and I tried it, and I hated it, and it didn't work. It's like, any negative stories out there? I mean, I'm loving the positive stories, too.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-536-2370.
I guess what I'm thinking is I'm trying to make the show, you know, about the information rather than being an ad for medical marijuana. But it seems like this stuff really works. Minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you, speaking the truth to multinational corporations. And apparently today, the pharmaceutical industry would really rather you didn't know all about. Lisa, in 14 Montana. Am I saying that right, Lisa?
Fortine.
Hey, Lisa, what's up?
I have a couple of things I'd like to say about the medical marijuana.
Okay.
I've had epilepsy for about 30 years. About 5 years ago, I got a green card in the state of Washington, at which time my doctor told me that epilepsy was the poster child for medical marijuana because it's often brought on by stress and anxiety and insomnia and that sort of thing, and which marijuana directly affects. So if you can alleviate those problems, your chances for having seizures diminish, obviously. I haven't had a seizure in 5 years.
You have not had a seizure in 5 years? You've been using medical marijuana all this time?
I have not. I haven't used it in about 2 years. I just haven't needed to, so I don't do it just because I've been on medication for that 30 years, and when I started smoking marijuana for it, I was able to get off the medication. And I've been seizure-free for a little over 5 years. And I just, at this point, don't see any use in trying anything because I'm not having a problem.
So let me just get this timeline straight. For 30 years, you had epilepsy, basically. You had a seizure disorder. You had been taking pharmaceuticals for it. They weren't solving the problem. You started smoking medical marijuana 5 years ago. The seizures immediately stopped. You continued it for 3 years. You didn't have any more seizures. And then you stopped the medical marijuana. You'd 3 years earlier, you had stopped all the anti-seizure drugs, and for 5 years you've been drug-free other than the pot. For 2 years you've been pot-free, and you've had no more seizures. Did I characterize that right?
Yes.
Wow. Exactly. That's an extraordinary story.
I would like to say, from a professional standpoint, I am a ICD-9 coder for a network of cancer clinics in Western Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little something I've noticed. Our patients, I read medical records for a living. That's what I do all day long, and I'm humbled, trust me. The patients that take medical marijuana, I've noticed, maybe take 2 or 3 other drugs for hypertension or diabetes or this or that or the other. The people that do not, they're on average like from 15 to 20 other medications.
Wow.
For diarrhea and nausea and insomnia and anxiety, they're just, you know, they'll give them one drug for their diarrhea, which causes three other symptoms. So then they'll give them another drug to cover those three symptoms. And then, you know, those come with two more. It's just a nonstop, as far as I'm concerned, corporate fiasco with the pharmaceutical companies. They're just manipulating the system. If these people were all taking smoking marijuana for their symptoms or eating it, whatever, however they want to ingest it, Big Pharma would go down in a blaze of glory. And that's just my opinion from what I read at work all day, every single day.
Wow.
This is all about money for Big Pharma.
Yeah, I think you're right. From the horse's mouth. Lisa, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. By the way, when you were taking your medical marijuana for those 3 years for your seizure disorder, were you smoking it, eating it, oil, what?
It was both. I was smoking it and I was eating baked goods.
Huh. Fascinating. Lisa, thank you for sharing your story with us. It's great to hear from you. Tony in Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Tom. I love the subject. But something that I haven't heard mentioned except just offhand is that THC is not psychoactive until it gets heated. So eating it raw, you still get the catalytic effects with the CBD without the psychoactive effects if you don't want them.
My understanding is that there's actually a precursor drug to THC, and it's something like TCAA or something like that. It's a four-letter acronym, and that when you heat marijuana, and it only has to be 200 degrees or thereabouts, so thus you can bake it into brownies, you can make, apparently putting this stuff in butter is a big deal, and you heat it up to 200 degrees, you know, not enough to boil, but you heat it up, and it causes that precursor to convert to THC. Do I have that right?
I think it's some series like that, you're right.
Yeah.
But there's many people coming out now for juicing,
mm-hmm.
or using it as herbs and salads. You know, because you can eat it raw if you don't want the effect, or if you do want the effect, then heat it.
Oh, interesting. So you can eat the pot raw, and it doesn't get you as high because it doesn't do that conversion of the THC, but you do get a lot of the cannabidols and the terpenes that are good for you.
Right. And you don't get any of the effects. Until it's heated, you don't get it. It just doesn't exist.
Fascinating. I have to confess, I've never tried to eat pot. Once in my life when I was 18, I ate a marijuana brownie and it was strong and I was knocked on my butt. But that had been cooked. But I've never tried just eating pot. Interesting, Tony. Thank you for the information. Tamar, or is it Tamar in Denver, Colorado?
It's actually Tamar.
Tamar. Hey, Tamar.
Huh?
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm actually a molecular biochemist. I'm the chief science officer of a cannabinoid nutraceutical company. I love hearing all these stories about the anecdotal studies. We're really excited because we're offering cannabinoid nutraceutical to the general public. And I've been listening to the last few callers, and one caller had mentioned that you can't standardize a plant. And that's actually not true. So what we're trying to do is offer a pharmaceutical quality nutraceutical, essentially, a dietary supplement that is of the standards of pharmaceuticals.
Right.
That contains all the elements of the plant, so it's much more natural.
Well, there's a bunch of companies that do that. I mean, I take turmeric, for inflammation from Organic India, and it's just, but they, they have all these claims about, and there's other natural companies that sell very, standardized extracts and things like that.
Right, absolutely. And they follow GMP protocols. They're FDA regulated. It's just the regulation for nutraceuticals is not as stringent as pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are companies now making cannabis at the pharmaceutical level, like GW Pharmaceuticals in the UK. They standardize their growing, their strain, their specific strain of cannabis is essentially certified to be true breeding.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially taking away those variables that make natural things.
So you're a molecular biologist with a company who makes nutraceuticals, in other words, nutrients, food product, or I guess plants are nutrients, pot-based medicine that's not like FDA medicine, but it's more like in the category of supplement. What kind of things are people using your product for?
Listening to the previous callers, I mean, the array of benefits is so huge because cannabinoids tap directly into your endocannabinoid system.
Right.
And this is kind of a master control system that med students aren't talked about, they aren't taught. It's not really talked about in the Western world. But essentially, cannabinoids affect CB receptors as well as in other ways they affect the endocannabinoid system. That's how they have the wide array of effects.
So the endocannabinoid system is one of the principal modulators of the immune system. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. The immune system, digestion, endocrine system. You have CB receptors all over your body in your central nervous system. CB2 receptors are in your immune system. They're in your brain. So they're everywhere except for part of the brain that can essentially be shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you can never overdose from THC, is because no matter how much you take, it doesn't affect part of your brain stem that controls, your breathing and your
heart. Right. And that's that part of the brain stem that gets hit by opiates that causes breathing to shut down. So there's no cannabinoid receptors in there. It's like we co-evolved with this plant.
And actually, the endocannabinoid system is literally hundreds of millions of years old. I mean, they found an endocannabinoid system in sea squirts. They use it to open and shut their siphon. I mean, it's been around for a long time. All mammals have it. There's definitely a reason why this medicine is so perfectly suited for humans.
Right.
It's extremely safe.
Yeah. That explains, I'd always wondered why it was that nobody ever died from a pot overdose, and because you can get pretty stoned from it, so it seems like it's a strong drug, but if there are no receptors for it at all in the brainstem, and it doesn't, alcohol works by demyelination, it dissolves the insulation around the wires of our nerve cells, and so it just causes nerves to short out in every part of the body, which is why you can overdose from alcohol.
And you bring up a great point. Cannabis is actually a great anecdote or a cure for ethanol binge toxicity.
Huh.
So as you said, in the brain, those myelin sheaths are stripped.
Right.
Because cannabinoids are fat soluble, they actually sit in those myelin sheaths and they're neuroprotectant. So they can not only stop that damage, they can reverse it.
And this is why they're using medical marijuana for Alzheimer's and dementia?
Yes, as a cure, if you already have it, but it's also preventative.
Wow.
So they found cannabinoids block the formation of those amygdaloid or amyloid plaques.
Right.
So they don't even form. So actually, if you were to consume a cannabinoid nutraceutical every day, theoretically, you can block Alzheimer's disease, heart attack, stroke.
Amazing. Tamar, we're out of time. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Well, that was pretty amazing. We'll be back with more of your calls. We're going to continue with this topic for a while. Although Stephen Cohen is going to be with us at the top of the hour, and Bob Nay with Talk Radio News will be with us in 5 minutes. Welcome back. 15 minutes before the hour. And Shannon watching Free Speech TV in Chalmette, Louisiana. Am I saying that right, Shannon?
Yes, you are.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the medical marijuana. I'm a CPA, and I also have MS. It's multiple sclerosis. Recently, a bunch of Republicans got together for the state legislature and tried to get medical marijuana passed in Louisiana. It was really, really restrictive. It was only for MS, cancer, and epilepsy, and you had to jump through all kinds of hoops to even get it. But the police union here kind of squashed the whole thing because they were worried about, potentially, this MS person can go out and start dealing drugs to all of the minorities.
Right.
So the police kind of squashed that one for right now. But that's really the best alternative that we have as far as all of the medicines that they put you on for MS. For the spasms and everything, they put you on something called baclofen, which has got horrible, horrible side effects, and you build up a tolerance to it so far that some people have to actually have surgery to have pumps installed into their bodies to release this drug timely.
Wow.
Whereas, the medical marijuana is really easy and it doesn't have any of those side effects. But
have you tried medical marijuana for your multiple sclerosis?
Well, it's illegal here, but yes, I have tried it, and it does work way better than the baclofen. It's the best thing that they have out there. But the problem is even if it was to be medically legal here, and I would get a prescription, my neurologist is just kind of waiting for it to go through so she can prescribe it for everybody. But even if it's legal, it's still illegal federally. So I could still lose my license to practice if I took my legally prescribed medicine for this state.
Oh, so as a CPA, you're licensed by a board by rules and regulations correct. That include drug testing?
It can't. Well, my employer can drug test me, and because it's still illegal federally, I have no protection.
That's
so
nuts.
They could still fire me because we're in an at-will state, and I could lose my license altogether from the State Board of Louisiana if I wanted to do it.
Wow.
I mean, it would have to be legal federally before I could even do it, even if it was legal in Louisiana.
Remarkable. Well, Shannon, I wish you the very best. I have a cousin with MS. It's a real challenging disease.
Yeah, it can be, and it would be so much easier if you would just let the people use what actually helps them the best with the least amount of side effects. Because God knows everything they put us on has a side effect.
When you tried medical marijuana for your MS, how do you know that it was of value to you?
Because I was in the hospital and I was spasming for 5 days in a row, and as soon as I took it, I stopped. Even though I had been on the baclofen and it wasn't doing anything, I was in so much pain, I couldn't move and I was screaming.
Wow!
But then as soon as I took it, it stopped and it went away while I was on the other drug that was supposed to stop it.
Wow! Would you smoke it or take an infusion or a vapor, or how did you take it?
I smoked it because that's the only thing we can really get. I've tried it once before in an edible, and I really didn't like it because I think they just use a lower grade of
right.
pot in it,
right.
And it just kind of made me paranoid, and it didn't really do what I needed it to do.
Yeah, and you don't know right away how much you've taken. Yeah.
Right, well, and there are all those different kinds, and for each different disease, there's a different level.
A different variety, yeah. Yeah, I got Shannon, we're out of time, but thank you for sharing your story with us. Great to hear.